Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I am your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today in just a little bit is John Ramos. What an exciting, exhilarating answer to prayer. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, against the will of many folks all around the world who appear to have this adversarial mindset towards Israel and the land of Israel and the protection of Israel and the wanting, those that are wanting Iran to have some sort of nuclear capabilities. They tried everything that they could, it appears, reports are, to be able to push the opponent of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu in the elections. But God, our God, and our prayers were answered because Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, from what I understand, won as a almost like a landslide victory. As a matter of fact, take a look at this.
Israeli voters delivered a clear message to the White House, the media, and the world. Thanks for your help, but we'll keep our prime minister. What was supposed to be a tight race that favored the leftist Zionist Union turned overnight into a surprisingly strong victory for the nationalist right led by Netanyahu. The prime minister quoted the book of Joel in his victory speech.
I want to thank you all the citizens of Israel, for faith in Israeli democracy, and for the faith in our one and only country. With your help and with the help of God, we will protect her together, and Judah will be inhabited forever, and Jerusalem for all generations.
Facing negative poll numbers and a hostile media, Netanyahu told a large nationalist rally on Sunday that his Likud party could close the gap between his and the leftists and the national parties. It appears he did just that and surprised even his supporters.
Every pre-election indicator said Israelis would vote their pocketbooks and vote Labor. But in the end, security concerns prevailed.
I think that the Israeli public understood that despite all the issues and all the problems, when we see the threats of Iran, Hezbollah, and Hamas, the Likud is the best leading party to lead the nation for the next 4 years.
Netanyahu will now bypass parties on the left and try to form a government of the right. But he will have to focus on the high cost of housing and other social issues as well. That contributed to the 24 seats won by Labor and the good showing of Kulanu, a Likud offshoot that the prime minister will need for his majority. Meanwhile, Netanyahu's victory sets Israel and the Obama administration on a potential collision course over Iran. The director of national intelligence just removed Iran and Hezbollah from its list of threat assessments, while Netanyahu calls Iran the number one state sponsor of terror in the world. Chris Mitchell, CBN News, Tel Aviv.
Well, Chris is now with us from Jerusalem, along with our CBN News political editor, John Waghi. Guys, good to see you today. What's the mood in Israel? Are people excited? Are they thrilled about this election?
Well, I would say so, Pat. They are thrilled and surprised. I think all of Israelis are surprised at the amount of seats that Netanyahu got. 30 seats is really a landslide in this kind of parliamentary elections. When we were there last night at the Likud headquarters, I think it was Likud supporters themselves were surprised. And I would just add, Pat, you know, our colleague John Waghi, he predicted, I think, the closest of all the pundits. He said they'd get about 27. The polls and pundits were saying about 21, 22. I think this is a huge mandate for Netanyahu right now, and it really does send a message not only throughout here in the region, but also to Washington, D.C.
John, how do you do it, baby? You're always on it. What was your key indicator?
I think it was prayer, Pat, more than anything else. I just had a sense that it was going to be higher than the pollsters were saying, that they were misreading the momentum that came in the last few days. And but I was surprised by the results. And you know, he got 30 seats rather than 27, so it went even above what I thought. And I was about 5 or 6 seats above what the pollsters were saying. So it's really a solid victory that no one had really anticipated.
Well, Chris, he's got to get more than that. Who's going to link in with him in a coalition?
Well, Jewish Home, I think, is one of the parties that he's going to be with. Kulanu is another party. It looks like right now he's going to have a pretty solid center-right majority, maybe 64, 65, maybe even as far as 67 seats. The religious parties will probably come along with him as well. So getting the 30 seats really is a huge deal for him as he cobbles together this coalition. Now, what's going to happen right now, Pat, is Reuven Rivlin, who's the president of Israel, he's going to be the one to tell Netanyahu to go ahead and form a coalition. He'll have about 45 days to do so, and it looks pretty well that he can do that.
John, Netanyahu said in the last week Israel will keep building in Jerusalem and there won't be a Palestinian state on his watch. And that defies Obama's view of the Middle East. What do you see happening?
Well, I think, you know, Chris mentioned in the story being on a collision between Washington and Iran. I think there's also going to be a collision course on the situation vis-a-vis the Palestinians. I think that Netanyahu has made it clear, especially on building in Jerusalem, he is not going to stop, especially when they need low-cost housing all around Jerusalem and beyond in Israel. He's not going to stop building in the area that he has said over and over is the eternal undivided capital of Israel. And so I think on that score and on the score of the Palestinians, where Bibi was very successful in arguing that you can't put terrorists on the front's doorstep, and that's what's happened with every land concession. And so I think he's going to take a tough line, and now he has a mandate to take a tough line, basically.
Well, Chris, one more question. He's surrounded. There are other countries, some that look to be somewhat favorable toward Israel, Jordan, Saudi Arabia, and so forth. Are they going to be in any way friendly with him or enable him to go against Iran?
Well, I think so, Pat, and I think that's part of the story going on here. One of the big headlines is the fact of there's rejoicing probably in the capitals of Cairo, Riyadh, and Amman. They won't be doing that publicly, and you won't see that on the streets, but privately, I was talking to one Arab expert earlier today who said, really, they're honoring, the rulers of these countries are honoring the courage of Netanyahu to stand up against Obama, to go to the Congress and speak so forthrightly about Iran. Certainly, they are very, very concerned about the encroachment of Iran, Iran's nuclear program. They don't feel like the U.S. is going to hold the line against the nuclear Iran, and they see really Netanyahu as their ally, maybe unspoken ally, to defend against that. And one other thing, Pat, about this election, I think this was a reaction, as some Israelis were telling me, against the interference of the Obama administration or the White House into this election. And they feel like this was a reaction against that. You know, there's a story about V15, which is that group supported by One Voice, which is funded by the State Department in part. Now there's a Senate investigation going on. 20 U.S. congressmen are asking the State Department for more answers. But I think that's part of the story as well. What's going to happen with the U.S.-Israeli reaction as we go on from here?
Last question. I've wondered and wondered and wondered at what point the Israelis might do some kind of a military strike against the Iranian nuclear facilities, or are they just going to let it go?
Well, I think, Pat, this is one thing that strengthens Netanyahu's hand. These governments like Saudi Arabia, there have been reports, private reports, that maybe they would actually help Israel. For example, Saudi Arabia using letting Israel use their airspace to attack Iran. And also they see the size of the victory, I think, gives them the assurance that Netanyahu does have the support of the Israeli people. Security seemed to trump economics right now in this election. It was close. But I think Israelis, as Danny Danon said in the piece, that it was the security issues, Hamas, Hezbollah, Iran, that really trumped the economic issues.
Thank you, guys. We appreciate your coverage and you're watching what's happening.
So you're looking at this is so exciting to see
this answer on so many levels. You think, well, yeah, it's an election. That's wonderful. No, it's so important on so many levels. What God's been revealing to us, what we've been seeing, what many people have been praying for. You know, we've been praying. Remember, we were talking to you, you know, right there the day before the election and talking about, you know, pray for these elections. And God says, you know, at the very end of all times in the Valley of Jehoshaphat, God's going to judge all nations based on what happened, what we did with the land of Israel. And when Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, at the last moment, the midnight hour, he says, I will not divide the land. He said, I will not settle for a two-state solution. He would not divide up the land. And all of a sudden, God just gives them great victory over that. It's just amazing to see that happen. And some of the other things that to have confidence in the context of this, first of all, remember some of the prophetic words that we gave or God had revealed to me about prior to Secretary of State John Kerry becoming Secretary of State. The Lord showed me him and showed me what would happen and where the church at least would be in the context of that. And what the Lord showed me very specifically was the church is going to be really in big trouble when Secretary of State John Kerry becomes the Secretary of State. And look at this. We're going to be talking. Make sure you join us in our next program, because today the church is being persecuted and murdered and slaughtered all over the Middle East, and they're wanting and all over in different places in the world, and it's on a rise. And we need to begin to not only pray for Israel, but pray for the church. And just like the Lord said, and they're talking about the State Department interfering with the elections potentially or allegedly in Israel. That is Secretary of State John Kerry. That is the one. That's the one that said that, he said, you don't want a third intifada uprising, do you? That's what he told Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu sometime back. And they were being interviewed together. And it's like, you just can't do this to Israel. But this is what we want to break down today. We want to talk about this today. This is so important for America, Israel, for the church in America, is the fact that even though the entire world who wanted to get involved, not everybody in the world, a remnant from throughout the world who does not stand with Israel, who does not stand up for God, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that participated in this organized effort to be able to oust, you know, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, they failed. They failed. Isn't it interesting when you heard the reports, they're saying like, you know, we don't know what it was. All the reporters and all the polls we were hearing and everything said it was neck and neck, neck and neck. And they said, you know, he's probably going to make it. Understand that up until the very last moment before Iraq fell, you know, under President George W. Bush, that there was a PR guy that stood out front and said, everything's fine. Everything's okay. At the same time, the leader of Iraq was running and hiding somewhere. And you have to, that's the enemy. The enemy just lies and continues to lie. You cannot believe their lies. When somebody says, you know, Islam is going to take down America and that type of thing. There's only like 2 million Muslims in the entire state, from what I understand. Some of the Ben Shapiro, I believe, gave us a number in one of our previous programs. And there's not that many. There's not that many to do that kind of harm. We just need to wake up and say, you know what? We got to stand up. We got to stand up and not believe these lies of the enemies. And we're going to be talking about rules for radicals, because that is the methodology, the Solodlinsky methodologies that was used reportedly in Israel. And guess what? Even though Marshall Gant's book says why David sometimes wins, was he's using the story of David to push some analogies that he's got going on in his organized efforts. Well, this particular situation, David was Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, and David did win. He won against the organizers of darkness.
This is such an exciting time, and the reason why it's exciting and in so many levels is if you've been with us for all the years and we've been talking about, you know, what God revealed, and one of the key people, and we'll be having hopefully in our next program more on him, is Marshall Gantz, that, you know, he's being interviewed by Bill Moyer, and he's a community organizer. He helped organize a lot of people that were suffering injustice in the history in America, and appears to help bring some positive things that happened there. But, you know, with that, the efforts of organizers of darkness versus organizers of the day, you know, just because you can organize somebody, you know, I'm watching that video of the newscast and I'm watching this opponent of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, and I can't help but just think about Cora, you know.
Mm.
And, you know, Cora felt like he knew how to run Israel better than Moses. And I'm not saying that Bibi is Moses, but compared to his opponent and who he partnered with,
mm.
he is. No, anyway, so, and so, but when you saw him standing there with the people around him, you remember Cora? You know, Cora, God says, listen, I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to bring you out. He brought, you know, Israel out of Egyptian slavery. He brought them in the wilderness. And so you had Cora was watching and observing. He had advisors around him. And then he had a thicker crew around them. And he literally began to say, you know, Bibi don't know what he's talking about. And Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, which we call Bibi, you may hear that quite often, you know, in today's program. But when you're standing up for what God says, no matter who you are, it's going to work out.
Mm.
Sometimes you can get confused and always you can think that a person is right just because they stand up for what God says and then it comes to pass. It's because God's right. You know, it's not because I'm right. It's not because John's right. Mm-hmm. It's because God's right.
That's right.
And, you know, obviously God is for Israel. You know, it's the apple of his eye. But Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu stood up for God. He's just saying, listen, he said, with God's help, and that we're not going to divide the way he says. We're not going to have a two-state solution. If you vote for me, we won't split her up. And that's very important because the Valley of Jehoshaphat, that's what God's going to judge all nations on. But there's a whole force reportedly that was coming against him, a huge force. And they were stirring up strife, things like discontent amongst the people, with jobs, for example, with housing and for, mm-hmm. you know, with so many other aspects of things going on. And when you saw, they were so shocked, they could not believe that the people decided for security over their wallets. And this is so exciting. And this is why it's exciting, because all of this is what's coming against America. The same thing. They're trying to mess with your money. They're trying to mess with your jobs, trying to mess with your food prices, your gas prices, trying to mess with everything. They're in, you know, flooding our borders. You know, some people, not everybody crossed our borders, but some people mean evil for our country. They're allowing things, you know, for example, the Navy gunner shooter that runs to the Navy base, they put the video up within 24 hours to create fear. You know, FBI's never really done anything right. like that before. That's a suspect. He's arrested. Why would you need to put it up? And they've done all these things to promote and to divide us instead of e pluribus unum. You know, though we're many, we're one. They're talking about though we're one, we're many. Mm. And that's not who we are. We're one nation under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all. And so, this is the very same darkness that's trying to organize America. And let me tell you something. This is exciting to me because, first of all, it's exciting because Israel stands, you know, by the way, which means Israel is going to respond as soon as they get their government together. And you need to pray for that because it's a different form of government. Now they have to organize their government, you know, their team basically that's going to work with them. But they're saying it's going to be because he won with such a big landslide. You know, the word landslide in elections was amazing. Landslide, that's 2%.
Two votes.
Right? And so, but it doesn't matter. It's amazing.
A win is a win, right?
I found that out.
That's
amazing.
Right. A win is
like,
a win.
Wow. Okay, so, but this is the same thing. This is the same thing that it's happening in America.
Hmm.
And there's 320 million of us. There's 320 million of us. And just think about this. What if we woke up? What if we didn't believe the lies of the enemy? What if we just, instead of letting darkness organize against us and against America and against the Constitution and against the First Amendment and against Christians and against Jews in America, why don't the organizer of the light, why don't we let the Lord organize us?
Hmm.
Why don't we just say, you know what? I'm going to go from Saul to Paul. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to Saul to Paul. Think about Saul. Saul was an organizer of darkness prior to him running into the light. He was on the road to Damascus. He was going to kill Christians. He was going to go persecute Christians. By the way, that's in Syria, just so you know it. So we're talking about Syria today. Christians are being persecuted. You've got to catch our next program because we're going to talk about the persecution of Christians. It's rampant. And it's in and it's coming to America if we don't wake up. And notice that because Israel stood, because Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu and the majority of Israel stood for what was right. I mean, look at their safety. I mean, they're only like 60, 70 miles wide, at their widest point. If you go back to God, I mean, even though we're flawed, even though we have bumps in our road, even though we've made mistakes, listen, God can forgive us. He can restore us, and he can pour out revival, and he can bring a third great awakening, and the best days for America may have never been seen if we choose to go that route. And this election to me, because if all the fire and the venom of darkness and Saul Alinsky's children, and I mean, we're looking at of all the things that, you know, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, you know, could have made her announcement about her emails, you know, whatever about her emails. She did it at the United Nations.
Mm-hmm.
Of all the things that our president, who both of them were mentored by Saul Alinsky, reports are, according to the Chicago Tribune, that he is directing everything to the United Nations, even Israel and Iran's nuclear capabilities and the negotiations. And it's like, what's up with this United Nations thing? That wasn't about taking over the world. It's almost like that's not where we go. And by the way, just so you know, we know this, and that sometimes you hear that narrative so much, and that's the whole point of about public narrative. And as we talked about, that narrative that started in, you know, Cairo, Egypt, and it has been going on by our president and the people at large, you know, that the narrative is that United Nations is stronger than the world, stronger than America. The United Nations is wiser than America. The United Nations is the answer for America and its world's problems. Those are wrong narratives, and they're not true narratives. The truth is the United States Constitution trumps anything. It trumps anything and everything that the United Nations would do. It does not supersede. It doesn't supersede the Constitution, which means this. If we allow people to destroy our Constitution, guess who will be in charge? The United Nations. It's our Constitution. Our United States Constitution, which I have somewhere, I don't know where it is, but it's our Constitution that trumps anything that the United Nations would do. And we need to learn the Constitution. You know, that's why I always talk about VFN, you know, kingdom business. We got to get back to the government mountain to understand this is a government by the people and for the people. And we have to stand. When we stand up for righteousness, we can see what happened in Israel happened in America, and all of a sudden this shift takes place. I'm telling you, this is so exciting on so many different levels. I should be encouraged, not encouraged because, you know, everything's done already, but just be encouraged that God has just revealed wisdom that we understand the enemy. We understand the opposition to God and our Constitution, because we saw it manifest in this other country called Israel. Everything that could be thrown into the fire with all these Saul Alinsky rules for radicals and, you know, create 40 different people running for office, allegedly, that you could liquidate the vote, you know, create the inner turmoil. And they said very specifically that they were convinced that people that were going to vote for their wallets, but they didn't. In other words, they're going to vote based on their money. And everything right now in America, I mean, everything in America is being structured and organized for that push, you know, that just tried to take place at these elections that took place in Israel, but they lost.
Mm-hmm.
This is important. They lost. And Marshall Gantz will tell you himself. I don't know if we even have that clip from Marshall Gantz yet, but we will on our future program. But he wrote a book, you know, Why David Sometimes Wins. And he's taken the narrative of, you know, King David and when David was fighting Goliath. And all of a sudden, you know, David sees this injustice. He begins to talk about, is there not a cause? And these are, you know, legitimate things. And it's like, yeah, there's a cause. And then the public narrative is, you know, who are they to come against all of us? You know, the armies of God. And so he brought everybody into the you know, to what's going on. But still, it was him that did the fighting. And that's what he talks about in his book, you know, that in his interview that we're going to have for you, then that means that it wasn't a nonviolent movement, by the way. And
wow.
So that's where things are headed towards in America. That
was the justification for
for violence.
Wow.
And so, allegedly. And so he, and so, well, you think about, you know, the underground,
right?
Know, the underground movement in the 60s, Bill Ayers.
Yes.
Who was on being interviewed by Megyn Kelly. And by the way, as soon as I saw, you know, Bill Ayers, which is a professor at Northern University, he's the one that was arrested for bombing government buildings and stuff. And he served his time for that.
And his wife, I believe, too.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that, but yeah. And so he was on Megyn Kelly. And a lot of people thought, well, this is great. You know, he's going to be interviewed by a conservative person. And the thing about it, to me, you know, once that happened, they were so confident in what they've already done already. When they chose to take advantage of a possible injustice that took place in the middle of our country, instead of just trying to allow justice to work its way out and then find out where it landed, and all of a sudden we find out where it landed was, it was not what the few select people were saying it was, that When you look at this, that everything that you can imagine is being organized in America to come against, you know, our country, our nation, God. I mean, think about this. We had reports. We actually had reports on VFN-TV, and I forget the attorney in Orlando that represented her for a little bit, John Stenberger. And her parents were after her they were disappointed in her. They were of the Islamic faith, and they were going to maim her. Mm-hmm. They were going to, you know, cut an ear off, cut a nose off, something like that.
Is it because she converted to Christianity?
Christianity, right. Okay. Because that would be slandering.
Blasphemy
of Islam, they would think. And so you shame the family. It's called, what kind of killings are those called? The
honor killings.
Honor killings and those type of things. And as you heard recently by Ben Shapiro, he talked about the percentage of people that are predominantly for those kind of things. What percentage?
Radicalized. It was high.
800 million?
Yeah, 800 million.
800 million. You cut that in half, 400 million? You know what I'm saying?
Of the 1.2 billion that are Muslims.
And so when you look at all these things that are taking place, you didn't see people stand up. You didn't see the White House stand up and say, that's wrong. Hmm. You know, don't do that to her. We didn't see people stand up in Dearborn, Michigan, Congress, you know, our president and everybody come to Dearborn, Michigan and saying, you cannot have this honor killing here. You cannot open up Sharia courts in northern Texas. You can't. We're not seeing any of that. But you have a Christian bake a cake or not bake a cake for someone. All of a sudden, it's just like, you know, boom.
Yeah.
It's like, how wild is that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if somebody, and it's unconstitutional and it's illegal to harm, physically harm anybody, no matter what your faith is in America, by the way, even though it appears sometimes they're allowing things to happen, that that our Constitution stands. And so we can stand up. We can see it's obviously an assault on the original tent, God's original tent for our nation. You know, it's a Judeo-Christian nation. Its founding principles are Judeo-Christian. Granted, we've come a long ways off of that, you know, but we can come back to that. Remember, even in Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, when Abraham was interceding for Sodom, he just said, listen, if you found, you know, this many righteous people, would you spare it? You know, and he went all the way down to like 25 or something of that nature, you know. And God was saying yes, which means, I mean, there are a lot of people who love God in America, but the enemy may be attacking your confidence. He may be telling, you know, he may be convinced that all these narratives that are being put out, like that was put out in Israel in that election, and they were just shocked. Everything they heard, everything they saw, said that this shouldn't be the outcome. That Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, and a conservative viewpoint and a security for our country, should not have made it. But guess what? It did, against everything that was put out there. What does that mean? If you don't throw away your confidence, you will be richly rewarded. But we're going to have to stand against the opposition. We're going to have to find out what the Constitution says and stand for it. And when he says, you know, the Constitution, First Amendment, says you have the right to assemble, you have the right to speak your mind, you have the right to do what we're doing right now. That's a constitutional right. You have a right to your things, your stuff, and your property, and not to be arrested without probable cause, and to be able to have a jury of your peers. This is all the Constitution. And who's overstepping the Constitution dramatically, reports are, is Washington, D.C.
Mm.
I mean, it's just like, okay, and everybody's saying this. This is what so many people are saying. You can hear in their newscasts and all. They're saying, you know, we're just going to wait till the folks that are in there now who are violating the Constitution is done, and then we're going to fix it. My concern is God's looking for – the reason why we have our present government is because we've sinned. It's not because of a bad choice or something. You know, when we as Christians, when we go astray from God, God puts people over us that end up oppressing us until we finally cry out to God. And so if people are saying, you know, once the oppressor leaves, once the oppression happens and leaves, because we got another election coming up or whatever your answer is, then, you know, we're going to stand up for, you know, God. It's like, I ain't going to work with that kind of concept. What's going to work is even when Iran's threatened nuclear annihilation to Israel, he still stood up. Mm. Even when they're saying, man, here it is. If you say you're going to have no two-state solution, then, I mean, you're going to lose a lot of people. You're not going to be popular with some people here. But he did it. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu did it. We got to find out and get clarity of vision and clarity of direction. You know, and if we can't find people who are organizers of the light, if we can't find people, then become one. Become someone that begins to get your neighborhood together and say, you know, we're going to stand up for righteousness. We're not perfect. You know, we'll tell you up front, you know, this is who we are. You know, we're sinners saved by grace. But we know that God's the only answer. We know that Jesus is the only way to him. And we know that this country exists because God has allowed it to exist. And it will not stand if we do not, no matter what our Constitution says, unless it will not stand if we don't honor God. Because that's the only way a nation, the only way freedom can last if it's freedom under God. It can't last any other way. This is what Jesus said. This is what the Word of God says. You know, if you're serving darkness, you're a slave to darkness. You know what I'm saying? And so it's not like, you know, hey, we can get some other ungodly leader and all of a sudden we're going to be free. It's going to be a clamped down, dark, demonic, you know, tyrannical, oppressive experience. The Word of God calls Nebuchadnezzar his servant, God's servant. Mm. He was waiting back there being prepared by God to take King Hezekiah and burn out his son's eyes and then burn out his eyes and put him into captivity as all the people he led, God's folks, into Babylonian captivity. And they spent the whole time there. Why? Because they wouldn't turn back to God. We have to wake up. We're in a season right now where when you think about, you know, Josiah and you think about, you know, Jehoiakim and you think about Zedekiah, and if we don't understand how things work, and you're hearing people say this, their trust is in politics, their trust is in their money, their trust is in things, and it's God. I'm telling you, you cannot have some political scheme that's going to all of a sudden cause God's blessings to be released on our country. It's going to be humility, acknowledgement, and repentance. Humility, acknowledgement of God, and repentance, which means finding out what he says for us to do and begin to walk that way. That's it. It's not gonna, there is no candidate out there that's you know, the candidate already came already. Hmm. He already won already, and his name is Jesus Christ. Now he's king of the world. He's king of the universe. He is the son of God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And yes, you know, potentially, you know, when we do that, God is going to may allow us to be able to have, again, you know, godly leadership that openly acknowledges Jesus Christ, that openly says, this is the way. Even if they're not perfect, they say, you know, we're a Christian nation. We're with Judeo-Christian principles, and we got to get back to our roots, and we got to repent for our sins, which kind of stem all the way back, you know, from the beginning of our nation, but keep on going. It goes all the way to the garden. And maybe just think about this. Maybe think about this, that the Christian America, begin to just envision with me, the Christian America as God wants it to be, hasn't even yet begun. If we can take a dark nation that never knew God, you know, in Africa for somewhere, for example, and all of a sudden a Christian king comes up or a Christian president and they dedicate the entire country to God and say, Jesus is Lord, and just the breakthrough happens in the entire nation. How prideful is us to think our best days are behind us, that everything that we did in the past, the revelation that God has revealed to the church today is so much even deeper than it was then. But yet we have all the things that they have carried to us, plus what God's revealing. We should be able to do greater exploits. We should be able to do more. We got way more than the Gutenberg printing press. You know what I'm saying? So think about this. Imagine if you didn't know the alphabet and you're fixing to go to school. You never knew A, B, C, D, or anything like that. And you're fixing to go to school and you want to be successful. I mean, you want to pass school because that means you're going to get a job and you're going to be able to provide for your family. And somebody told you, said, hey, I know what the ABCs are. I know what the ABCs are. You can make words with these things. You can put nouns and you can put adjectives together. You can do all these different things and make sentences. And wouldn't you want to know?
Sure.
Wouldn't you? I'd want to know. I'd want to know, you know, what is the vocabulary for my future? You know, if I know what I'm about to face, I can be prepared to do well at it.
Mm-hmm.
And especially if most people are not going to know the language. You can go to VFNTV.com and go to the VFN Torch, and it has a drop-down menu there and has series. And one of the series is entitled Organizers of the Night versus Organizers of the Day. I'm telling you, this is the language. There's several segments in there that we did for you for this very reason. Because these are the tactics that are being used over and over again. They're nothing new. They're actually Lucifer's tactics. He organized one-third of the angels against God in the presence of God and was successful to the point that he and his organized crew got thrown out of heaven. So we can't think. There's nobody can organize. If he organized a third of the angels in the presence of the creator of the universe, your neighborhood can be organized. Your nation can be organized. But if God reveals to you the strategy and the language of the enemy, reveals the strategy of the adversary, then God will organize you. The Holy Spirit will organize you under Jesus Christ. And when I began to teach on this, and you know, God revealed it over time, but he began to speak to me because I didn't know. I was like, looking, what's going on? And he shared this wisdom with me. And as he began to show me in this, you know, because Jesus is light, right? And so when he showed up to Saul, Saul was actually covered in darkness and trying to persecute the church. But as soon as he saw Jesus, Jesus was so bright, he couldn't even see for days. He had scales over his eyes. So prior to that encounter, he was actually an organizer of darkness. He was hurting and harming God's folks. But the moment he met the light, he became organized under the light. He allowed Jesus to organize him. So, which means you can't go out there with your own schemes and like, I got some great ideas. You got a new little 1, 2, 3, you know, political action team thing going on or something. You know, it's not about the schemes of men or the philosophies of men. It's about God. You know, he will organize. He's the one that tells us. That's why we talk about abiding with him, abiding with the Lord, because he's going to organize a massive movement of his people to go in the direction that he wants. But God spoke to me in a vision, a night vision, showing me specifically how his people or people are making a confession for the light and the dark at the same time. They're just as excited over the light as they are the dark, but you got to make up your choice. You can't be both. We can't be both of them. We have to choose which one we're going to be. So in this series, I talked about it, and you can. It's totally there for you. It's totally available for you. But some of the things that's talked about is like, are they using tips from Lucifer to organize America and the world? Boom, there it was with Israel. That's what they're trying to do. Things like global warming. What does that mean in the context, and why is there a pollution thing being used? That is one of the 13 rules for radicals taught by Saul Alinsky, who mentored, according to the Chicago Tribune, President Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. That was our mentors. Open Society, George Soros, reportedly, according to the Glenn Beck television program and those that are on his program, were talking about that he's reportedly given $33 million in an attempt to push his agenda in America right now and in with the Palestinian people in Israel. He's working both of those areas. Open Society is what he wants. And he and, as a matter of fact, his daughter got married, Hillary Clinton's daughter got married at his daughter's house. That's how close they are. You need to find out what that's about. Some of the other things is communism, political paradise, you know, that people present the concept of communism. They don't use it for communism. They just talk about, I'll meet all your needs and everything will be taken care of. And so when you get paradise presented to you, that will not end up, men's utopias always end up very, very bad. Ask those who are under Pol Pot, ask those that were under Mao, ask those that were under all the Hitler. And he was voted for. I mean, he didn't push his way in. He was voted for. Polarization. As a matter of fact, I want you to hear right now, this is Marshall Gantz talking about community organizers. Listen about this polarization.
But, you know, it's like Saul Alinsky said, organizers have to be well-integrated schizoids because you have to polarize to mobilize and depolarize to settle. But without polarizing, you're never going to mobilize anything. And, yeah, then there's a time to negotiate. And I think we're really screwed up on that.
This is exactly what was going on in Israel. This is what's happening with Iran right now. These techniques are being used. All of that, I mean, ISIS and Hamas and all those things, you see all this militant movement. It talks about pride, the law, ridicule, pressure, organized, unceasing pressure. These are all the tactics taught. These are the ABCs of what America is facing and that we're going to face on a mass scale. And we need to stand up like Prime Minister Bibi did and Israel did and say, you know what? We want security for America. We want security for our people. We want the original intent of our nation. We want our Constitution. We want God. Don't forget to go to VFNTV.com. Click on the VFN torch. The drop-down has series right there, and it's called Organizers of the Night versus Organizer, singular, of the Day. That's Jesus. I want to pray for you right now. Father God, we thank you for Israel. We thank you, Lord, for the protection and the choice of the people's leadership to protect Israel, God, not to divide the land, God. And I pray for America, God. I pray for our audience that you would just give us a hunger to know the ABCs of what's happening to us, God, that you would spare our nation, help us to keep our Constitution, Lord. Help us to turn back to you, Father God. Forgive, Lord, our wrong directions, Father God. Help us to come again, e pluribus unum, though we're many, one, God, that we would stand up again for you, God, and for this country, and openly stand up for Israel again. Lord, forgive us where our leadership went over there and strategized reportedly against Israel. God, hold not that sin against us. Lord, you saw our Congress stand up and say, we want to support Israel, Lord. Let that branch of government be the ones that represent our nation. They're the majority, Lord God. You know the heart of this nation, God. Forgive us for that, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, God bless.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN-TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.